Hello, and welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast. If you don't want a cookie cutter generic home, and instead you want a beautiful, meaningful home that's layered with personality, then you are going to be so inspired by the conversations we have on this show. We talk about why the environments we create matter and how to set up our rooms to evoke specific feelings and experiences that are right for you wherever you are in your life right now. I'm Zandra, your host and creator of the Slow Style Home Framework that teaches you how to make really thoughtful and informed decisions about your home rather than chasing current trends that may not last or staying stuck with rooms you hate, feeling overwhelmed with too many choices. Right now, when you join our monthly membership, the Slow Style Society, you'll get a personalized deep dive into your vision of what a dream home looks and feels like. And together, we'll come up with a plan on how to achieve that. If that sounds pretty awesome to you, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society for all of the details. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. Right now, let's just jump into today's episode. Today, I'm talking with a Virginia-based designer, Ashley Hanley, about her Southern hospitality-inspired approach to design. Ashley describes her own style as collected but not overly decorated, and those are the kinds of clients she attracts as well. And I want to point out her attention to detail. I really encourage you to check out the show notes page of this episode to see photos of her work where I share my own thoughts on how she uses different details throughout a home as a way of decorating with intention. While details such as pleating and piping and trim can often cost more, there are ways to add these things yourself or to just recognize them when you found a gem at an antiques or thrift store based on the details and the craftsmanship that you're seeing in the object. To find the show notes for all of our episodes, go to slowstylehome.com and just click on podcast at the top. And then you'll see a button that takes you to current and past episodes. I'll also link directly to it in the notes right here, right below, right inside your podcast player so you can find it easily. All right, let's jump in with Ashley. Ashley Hanley, welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So you live in Richmond. You went to school in Richmond. And on your website, you talk about having a little bit of a Southern hospitality kind of design focus, I guess. Yes. Or maybe that's the lens through which you see things. So I am curious about your own personal style. How would you describe it? And does that Southern influence come into it?
Absolutely. So my style, I would say, is very collected and not too decorated. And I think that comes from growing up, just going into my grandparents' homes and my relatives' homes and family friends. And there's just this sense and feeling when you walk into a Southern home where it just smells good. And it almost feels like a warm hug when you come inside their home. And, you know, you're always greeted with a friendly hello. And just everyone's very hospitable down here. And just having that kind of collected home of like antiques are mixed in. They've got silver set out, family pictures, but also mixed in with a fresher palette of lighter colored walls and lighter soft goods and, you know, all of that mix. And that's just kind of what I remember as a child growing up, just kind of loving that. And that's kind of, I think, what shaped my style and my design.
Yeah. Yeah. So give us some examples. How would I know that I walked into a home that is really pulling on that rich tradition of hospitality in the South? Other than the feeling of it, like what are the design clues that I might see?
Sure. Again, the kind of the brown antique furniture, and usually what my clients have and what I have, it's usually family pieces that they've inherited or I've inherited, or it's pieces that we've kind of collected along the way from various antique dealers or shops. And I love that everything kind of tells a story. You know, it's, I bought this piece from this travel adventure, or this was inherited from my grandparents and they bought it, you know, XYZ. And so that's what I love about just collecting pieces like that, because it always has a fun story attached to it. And then, like I said, just kind of that lighter color palette. You know, my clients are not afraid of color, but I just feel like it just, there's a freshness to the homes. And then just kind of that mix of original art mixed with old oil paintings, mixed with family photos kind of scattered throughout the home too.
So I have two very different questions to ask that are going in completely opposite directions. So let me start with what you just said, which is about your clients are not afraid of color. When I'm looking at your portfolio, there's a bright, light crispness to it, I would say.
Yes.
But you're also, you and your clients are not afraid of patterns. So tell us a little bit about mixing patterns together. How does it keep from becoming overly busy?
It really is all about kind of striking a balance of scale and color and still having, you know, some solids to ground all the patterns that we have and just really mixing the color as well. And I think that also kind of goes back to my background of being in apparel design, where I really love fabrics and textiles and just kind of that funky mixture of, you know, when you see it in clothing, you know, you're not always completely matching, you know, your colors and your outfits and everything. And so I think it's just really fun to do. And it adds just a lot of layer and warmth in a home.
I also noticed that you, there's a lot of little detail that, especially if you look at photographs of yours where it's a close up, you know, a little detail shot of a vignette or, mm-hmm. or something. So like piping around furniture or an edged, like a trim that's edging a curtain.
Yes.
And those details to me feel very, well, they really make it, right? They really pull it together. They make it feel so intentional. How do you keep it from looking overly designed? As you said, because you that was one of the first things you said is, I like a collected home. I don't like it to look designed.
I just don't like things to be too matchy-matchy, because what I do find is if you are all of a sudden, you have the exact color of your tape trim matching, let's say the exact color of the sofa that then matches the exact color in like the sofa pillows, it really starts to look too decorated. You know, it just, and nothing's wrong with that. I think there are many designers out there who have that kind of look and it looks beautiful, and some clients want that. They want everything to match and coordinate. But
right.
I just find that it just doesn't look as loved and well lived in. And, you know, and I just think it's easier for clients then to add in their personal elements to make it really look like their home and that they actually live there. And
yeah.
And so I find that I really try not to, even though I'm a perfectionist, to harp on those exact details of like, it has to be exact and match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that leans sort of more toward a beautiful hotel look.
Yes.
Where it's all picked out at the exact same time and it's all mm-hmm. very curated and which is wonderful. And that's, you want that escape sometimes at a hotel,
exactly.
Right? But you just said something about bringing in your clients, their own possessions and things that are well-loved. And that was the second question I wanted to ask you. Going back to that, have you ever had a client love a piece? Maybe it's, you know, been in their home for generations or their family for generations, or they just, maybe it was a piece they picked up on their travels and you're scratching your head going, I don't quite yet know how to make this work. And then something comes together and it does. Like, can you give us a story like that? Or is there something that they feel like, I have no idea what to do with this, but I can't, you know, it was my great grandmother's, it's not my style. I don't really like it, but I can't. And then you're like, oh no, we're going to make this work. So give us a little bit of that. Like, how do you deal with those kinds of pieces that either
all
they
time.
Love or you love?
I will say it happens very frequently. Sometimes I have to gently tell clients, you know, if it doesn't have meaning to you or if it's not a family heirloom piece, then, you know, I think we should reconsider maybe consigning it or, you know, donating it, you know, so it's not going to a landfill.
Yeah.
But oftentimes I will do my best to incorporate pieces that clients really, really want to, especially if they are a family piece and they want to have it in their home. So I will find a way to make it work.
Let's talk about your own style, your own home. And, you know, if we were going to walk into your home, is there an area, corner, an entire room that just really embodies who you are, that really represents your values, your passions, that you feel like if I had to choose one area of my home to tell my whole autobiography, this would be it?
Mm-hmm. I will say the one room that probably embodies that the best would be our living room. And I kind of think of it almost like a Victorian parlor room, where back in the Victorian days, they used to have, you know, display tables, and you would display all of your collectible items. And that's essentially what this room is for me. We have a large lacquered coffee table, you know, that I found secondhand and had my painters lacquer it for me. And on top of it is a collection of design coffee table books and some blue and white pieces and boxes that I collect. And so it just kind of showcases kind of all the little collections that I love to have throughout my home. And then we have wallpaper on the ceiling in there, and mixed with a different pattern drapery and a pattern sofa with different pattern pillows sitting on top of it. So it really is just, it's one of those rooms, and everybody who walks in there just loves the room too, because it really does have an impact with the color, but also the softness of the light wall color and then the dark brown antiques in there. And I've got also a collection of family photos of, you know, when my parents were babies and my in-laws were babies, and grandparents' wedding photos. And so it just really is all of my favorite things in one room.
Yes. It sounds like a scrapbook of you.
Yes. Yeah. I would say yes.
So you mentioned blue and white, and I know that's a big thing with you. On your website, you talk about flow blue and Famille Rose, which I, of course, as many of us are very familiar with the combination of blue and white, and that's been happening for centuries in different iterations. But tell us a little bit about Flow Blue and Famille Rose.
Yeah, so I started collecting blue and white pieces probably back in college, and it just slowly evolved into a really large collection. And I have it kind of scattered and spread out through my house, but I always kind of love to joke with clients. And it's, I think, on my website too, that it's, you know, thinking about like a wedding where you have something old, something new, and something blue. And I say my style and homes that I like to design have something old, something new, and some blue and white mixed in. And so that's where I kind of...
And borrowed. You have borrowed too. That's borrowed the other part of that wedding adage.
Exactly.
Yes. Borrowed, handed down.
Yeah. So again, kind of tying back into fashion in a way a little bit. So, and then Famille Rose, I started collecting after college, but it's the rose medallion pattern. And it's just the handiwork and the craftsmanship that went into that design is just so, so beautiful. And it just really mixes in well with the blue and white. And it also just adds in the additional colors of the pinks and the greens and a little orange. And it just is a really, really beautiful style china as well.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the questions that I'm going to be bringing up a lot on the show throughout this season is the idea of how we place value on things, how to know what to really splurge on and where you can maybe save. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could tell us something that you bought that maybe seemed kind of ridiculous at the time, or you knew was a splurge at the time or a stretch for you, but you absolutely understand its worth, its value to you.
Yeah. So I can think two things come to mind. We renovated our third floor, like attic space, and it was a completely finished space, but it was just very dated, and we were turning it into our girls' playroom. And so one of the big splurges that we did up there was basically jewel boxing it in Sister Parish wallpaper.
Ooh.
And so it just is very kind of Mary Poppins, you know, Little Women. And so it just is one of those magical spaces. And it was a splurge to buy that much wallpaper and then for the labor, you know, but yes. I appreciate the craftsmanship that goes into the wallpaper installation. And then I just adore the wallpaper. So that was kind of one of those things that, you know, I had to tell my husband, like, it's going to be worth it. And it was worth it. So,
yes. And it's something your girls are going to, their imagination is going to just be so freed, I think, in that kind of a space.
That's what we hope for. So they have a lot of fun up there. And it just is, it really is kind of one of those magical spaces. And then the other one that comes to mind, I haven't bought it yet, but we're getting ready to buy it because we're about to embark on a phase two renovation, and we'll be converting what was once a carriage garage attached to our house. We're going to turn it into the kind of a butler's pantry because nice. One of the other many things that I collect is glassware and dishware and linens and all that kind of stuff for entertaining. And so we're going to have a room devoted to that. And I was visiting one of my antique dealers who's local here to Richmond, and he has the most incredible, ginormous bookcase that is over 8 feet wide, 8 feet tall.
Whoa.
And it is unbelievable. He thinks that it's likely early Pennsylvania, possibly Virginia, but I mean, 1700s, absolutely wow. stunning. And it's going to be a splurge, but it's one of those that, like, even for the cost of it, you couldn't pay to have somebody make something like that for what I would be buying it from him. And
right.
so, but it's going to be one of those that we will have forever. And it's yes. an amazing piece of furniture.
It sounds like an investment. I mean, really, it's an investment in something that's that old, that's that well preserved,
yes.
that's, you know, that much of a, they'll have that much of an impact, but also an investment on something that's really important to you, it sounds like, which is entertaining.
Yes.
So tell us about, okay, this is sort of sidebar here, you know, the Southern host or hostess, right? I mean, the mm-hmm. South is kind of known for, again, that graciousness, that hospitality. Mm-hmm. What makes for a great party? What makes for a great host?
So many things. I kind of have come up with, I like to call it party in a pinch, where I've collected, okay. you know, various linens, tablecloths, napkins, and then obviously an assortment of china and dishware and glassware. And what I love to do is that mix and match everything. And that's what I just try to harp on to everybody. It doesn't have to match. It doesn't have to be perfect, but, you know, start collecting things that you love and you gravitate towards, or, you know, look at what your wedding china was and figure out a tablecloth that you'd love to mix with it that maybe is, you know, something a little bit out of the ordinary, like a block print tablecloth that could kind of dress it down. And so that's a, having those kind of elements on hand, you can easily pull that together in about 30 minutes and, you know, get it all beautiful and pulled together. And then I love to layer in, you know, if you can't go to a farmer's market or, you know, local flower market or farm, you know, the grocery store also has great flowers. And it's just a matter of kind of picking ones that look the best. And you could do really chic groupings of just all the same flower kind of scattered throughout the table, or, you know, do a mixture. And so that's what I just think, it's really fun to do that.
Yeah. And I think those grocery store flowers, they really have more possibility than what you see when they're kind of in their plastic wrap.
Exactly.
You know, especially for a table, I like to keep things low so that the conversation yes. can happen over the flowers. So
exactly.
You know, taking a bunch and just cutting them down really, really short and putting them in bud vases all along the yes. center is, yes. it looks better than, you know, than just sticking the entire bouquet.
It does.
In a vase. Yeah.
It does. Exactly. Yeah. And that's yeah. what I have a collection of brass candlesticks that I've, you know, collected over the years from antique stores. And then also my grandparents have lovingly given me theirs because they no longer use them. And so I have a large collection of them. And it's just a really kind of cool and different element that you can do. It's just a giant collection of, you know, candlesticks in the middle of the table. And
yes.
it really is a beautiful kind of romantic element as well to the
yeah.
table.
Candlelight is the best decor element ever. Yeah. Everybody yeah. looks good in it. And
exactly.
it's so much ambiance. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Right. So Ashley, as we wrap up here, I'm wondering what is on the horizon for you? What are you excited about design-wise? What's going on either in your own personal projects or just in the design world in general?
Well, I'm first and foremost very excited for our upcoming renovation that we're going to have and
sure.
kind of our phase two. And it really is going to complete our house for us. And then design-wise, I am working on a ton of renovations right now. And what's just been really fun is everybody's really loving just kind of wanting to make their homes, if they're newer homes, look like they've been there forever and that they're older and have all this character. Or if they are an older home, that we are keeping with the, you know, era of the house and, you know, honoring the style and the era of the home. And so that has been an absolute treat to be working on with clients.
Right, because you're clearly so passionate about that. There's a preservationist in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And just like you said, that appreciation for the stories that are held in yes. antique pieces and, yes. and everything.
Yes.
Well, it's been really lovely to talk with you. And I really encourage people to go to the show notes page to see photos of Ashley's work so you can see what we're talking about, especially when I was talking about the pattern mixes and the details and certainly that sort of Southern hospitality that's also very livable and yes. not overly designed. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. Right.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Thank you for having me. This was such an honor and I'm so flattered to have been able to speak with you.
Thanks so much for listening. I know your time is valuable and I really do appreciate you spending it with me. And please, please, please take a minute to leave a review for Slow Style Home wherever you get your podcasts. It honestly does help keep this show on the air and your feedback is highly valuable to me. Have a great day and I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Bye for now.